I take kids to the bathroom. I hold them down so they don't tear the place up. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great honor. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, please. The Bible says that Israel is the apple of God's eye. He says that he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Very special, dear precious people, a delight to the heart of our God. And if there is an apple to the eye of the preacher, it is this crowd here tonight. I mean, this is a great bunch of people. You're my crowd for sure. Paul talked about in Galatians 2 the pillars of the church. They were the Peter and James, pillars of the church. There are always people upon whom a whole lot of the work of God rests. This church has them. Pillars of the church. They're in this room tonight, without a doubt. From this group right here are found bus workers, ushers, Sunday school teachers. In this room and in this building, and if they're not in this building, in this room, because they have to work or whatever, they wish they were here. This is where you find the deacons. This is where you find the cleaning ladies, the doorkeepers. This is where you see the singers, the choir, the instrumentalists. They're all here tonight in this room. It is a great bunch of people. If anyone is sent from a church to the uttermost parts of the earth, they probably came out of the Wednesday night crowd. I have never known a preacher, a missionary, that wasn't a Wednesday night person. They all come from this group. Now, isn't that something? This is quite a crowd. Amen. And it is an honor for me to speak to you tonight. By the way, I have always wanted to be a part of this crowd. Ever since I've been saved. 50 years ago, come next January, it's hard to believe, I have been a part of this group in the church. So, what do you say to a crowd when you probably only got one chance, amen? What do you say to a group of people that are doing so many things right anyway? Let me give you a warning. Because there is a danger. There are dangers for everybody in the Christian life, without any doubt. But there is a danger for this group too. If you and I are not very careful, we will be found in what is in Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. We can just get dull of hearing. We've heard things so many times, 50 years worth. I've heard a lot of preaching, so have you. And you've heard some themes over and over and over again. And if you're not careful, very careful, you'll get dull of hearing. There was a time in your life, if you're in this room, there was a time in your life when your heart trembled at the word of God. Amen. And God blessed you for it. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. There was a time when this book did that to you. You knew or know that verse where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You knew what that was all about. Correct? Amen. 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 There's times, and we should. And that's a good and wholesome thing, by the way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It makes us clean. Amen. Amen. But if we're not careful, we just start just coming to church, you know, and it just doesn't punch us like it used to. We get dull of hearing. Seven times over, the Lord said to every church in Revelation 2 and 3, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Over and over and over again, he finished every message to that church with that statement. Why? Because you and I can get dull of hearing. It begins to have no power over the inner man. Our text, I'm not going to read it all the way through. We'll come back to this back and forth. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Do we all know what this is about? This is the second coming, without any doubt. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where God comes and reckons with every one of us. We have heard messages on that. I have. For 50 years, I've heard messages on that. And this is one of those instances that if we're not careful, we'll quit trembling. Folks, this is a fearful event that is soon coming. Our Savior has been gone a long time, correct? After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and there is a day of reckoning, and that is a very fearful thing. It ought to cause us to tremble. When was the last time it did? Let me take you to another verse that deals with the second coming of Christ and this judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment. Behold, James 5, the judge standeth at the door. He is watching everything. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now catch verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now folks, there's not a lost man anywhere in this text. He is not talking about going out and witnessing and putting the terror of the Lord on the lost. He's talking about you and me in the context of the judgment seat of Christ. It is going to be a terrifying experience for some. That ought to make us tremble. He is going to be a judge. We've all heard this before. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That day is coming. The day shall declare it. The day of reckoning, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Have you ever wondered what this fire is? Now that's fearful enough, correct? Fire is not fun. It's terrifying. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, fire. But what is this? Let me take you to a text that will give you an idea of this. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. John saw a vision of the Savior that you and I say we love. And we do love him. Amen? Amen? And he says in verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. There it is. Do you know what the fire is going to be that is going to burn away all of our wood, hay, and stubble? It is the eyes of the Lord that's going to look straight through every one of us. He's not about to judge the world here in chapter 1, is he? He's about to judge the church. I know thy works. I know thy works. I have somewhat against thee. Listen up. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I'm upset. His eyes are like a flame of fire. It goes on to say, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if it burned in a furnace. Now notice this, and his voice is the sound of many waters. Oh, that's going to be fearful. It's going to be terrifying. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Folks, what I'm trying to get you to see is that every one of us needs to prepare ourselves for a day of reckoning, because it's not going to be fun. We have a God who is angry with sin, and he's angry with our sin. Amen?
Amen.
Evidently. You say, oh, no, my Savior's not like that. He'd never get mad at me. Hold on. Let's go back to our text. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 25. Go all the way down to verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid that thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord. Now we know this is the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? Because he's teaching a parable about what he is going to do in that day of reckoning. All right? Now let's see what he has to say. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Is that what you want to hear when he comes back?
No.
Folks, he's upset. He's teaching a parable about what's going to happen on the day of reckoning, the judgment seat of Christ that every one of us must go to. And if you have not been busy in his service, he's going to say to you, you're wicked and slothful. Boy, that's hard. His voice is going to be like many waters. It's going to blow you away. If it knocked down that legion of soldiers in the garden, what is it going to do to you? His voice like many waters, his feet like fine brass as in a furnace, and his eyes as a flame of fire. Oh, it's going to burn out everything. And he's going to say to you, you are wicked. Think of that, folks. Do you think that you can sit and do nothing all your Christian life while the world goes to hell and God's going to be pleased with you? I can't even imagine such a thing. That is not the Savior that I serve. He is going to be upset with you because you never did get busy in his service, in this church, out in that field. He's going to say to you who have never served, you're wicked and you're ungodly. And he's not going to stop there. Go on. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. 28, take from him the talent, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10 talents. He is going to strip you of all your ability to serve him in the kingdom. Because all of our rewards, folks, We're not talking about the new heavens and new earth where he's changed everything. The place for your and my reward is going to be that kingdom that is coming, and he's going to reward us there with service for him. Amen? And those people that have been in this church serving and bearing his burdens, one day he's going to reward and he's going to give you opportunities to serve there. But this guy, he is going to strip from him every talent he's got and give it to somebody else. And he will not have any ability to serve God in that coming kingdom. I don't know about you, but that's terrifying to me. Knowing therefore the terror, this is terrifying stuff. But he doesn't stop there either. 30. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You will not have a place of honor in that kingdom. Now, you can exegete this any way you want, but it sounds like me. It says something to the effect, get this person out of my sight. He was ashamed of me in this life. I'm now ashamed of him in that kingdom that I... Do you think you will have honor there if you are not bearing the reproach here? I can't even imagine. Can you? Get him out of my sight, out of darkness. Those are terrifying words. Are you serving? Are you busy? Notice the end of the verse. There shall be weeping. Now, folks, the Bible promises us that he shall wipe away every tear. That doesn't happen until the new heavens and new earth, when he makes all things new. Evidently, there's going to be some crying, some weeping, and gnashing of teeth because of how you failed your Savior in this life. You say, preacher, you're so mean. I'm not. I'm not at all. This is our Savior that is going to reckon with every one of us, correct? If this parable means anything, and I believe I'm putting in its right context, there are people that are going to be ashamed, and they're going to weep, they're going to gnash their teeth, and he's going to say, put them out into darkness. I don't know all that that means, but it's terrifying to me. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Are you serving? Have you found a place in this church, in God's kingdom, to serve? I'm sorry, if you've not, if you've been sitting around all your Christian life, it's going to be a terrifying day for you. But enough of that. There are others in here who will hear the joyful sound. Amen. Well done. Well done. Well done. Some of you are in this room today. I hope many of you are in this room today because you are serving. There will be no terror for you. He will be happy. Amen? He will. He will. I heard this message 50 years ago, and I heard those two words, and I thought, as a young Christian, I said, Lord, I looked off all the way down to the future, to today. I can't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine myself being 73, but I looked all the way down to the end of my life as a 23-year-old babe in Christ. Somebody preached this, and I said, dear God, when I'm all done, I want to hear those two words. Do you know that Elijah went 40 days into the wilderness on the strength of that meat? Those two words have given me strength to serve for 50 years. I have gone 50 years on the strength of those two words. When I put my, that was an altar that I put my soul on because I wanted to hear those two words. You in here, some of you in here have been serving and serving and serving. I have the pleasure in my class to teach people who have served in this church for decades. Now they're too old. So, what do we have to do to hear those two words? Let's get on to something positive. I like positive preaching. First, I do not have to be Moses. I do not have to be Elijah. I do not have to go to Brazil. I do not have to be an evangelist. I do not have to preach to great crowds. I do not have to do anything. All I've got to do is serve. Just serve. Just serve. Now, the two-talent Christian got the same reward, the same well done as the five-talent Christian. And folks, that's a comfort to me because I'm not a five-talent Christian. I'm a two-talent Christian. There are five-talent Christians in here. You do not have to do great things. All you have to do is what you can with what God gave you. And isn't that wonderful? Do you know everybody starts with one talent? Let's see if I can find that verse. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings. You know what's next? Helps. When I got saved 50 years ago, I was clueless about how to serve God. I had no clue. I was a young babe in Christ. I didn't know how to do those things. So you know what I did? There were people in the church that did know how to do those things, and I wouldn't help them. I got on a Sunday school bus. I ran up to the door and brought them out. After a little while, I learned the songs. I didn't even know the songs that we sing up there in junior show. I know them now. And then I began to start singing the songs, amen, and standing up. And then I began to give little lessons as I began to learn. And then all of a sudden, the bus captain says, "Phil, I think you can do this better than me. Would you like to have this?" God had begun to give me other gifts. But it all starts with that one. If you're not willing to use that one, you'll never grow into the other gifts. You've got to help people that know what they're doing, and you learn from them, and then you start getting more and more responsibility. You start getting more and more ability to help. Amen. Then it went on and on and on in service. Folks, are you willing to help? These are important people in the church, just helpers. That's all I do with Brother Nathan. He showed up at a prayer meeting one morning, never seen the guy, never met him. I was in the prayer meeting on Saturday morning. He came one time and he said, "I need help. The people that are helping me now are quitting." The Lord spoke to my heart and said, "I can do that. I can do that. I cannot do what I used to do. The strength and health of my youth is gone. I'm glad while I had it, I gave it to the Lord, but it's gone now. I started off just helping, and now I've gotten to the place where that's all I'm doing again. And guess what? I am honored to be his fellow helper and his fellow laborer in the work of God. He does the work. All I do is I'm crowd control. I can do that. I can take them to the bathroom, amen? I can hold on to them when they're going crazy so that the rest of them can listen. And what an honor and blessing it is. I'm just a helper. Folks, every one of us could do that. You better start doing it because if you're not, the day of reckoning is going to be a fearsome thing for you. Now, let's go back to our text. Let's see if I can find it. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Ah, the joyful sound. Time is my enemy, and I'm going to have to close it up here. I'll go real fast, as fast as I can. You're very patient. Well done. Now, you can't be done unless you're doing something. So if you're not doing something, you will never hear these words, right? Because you're never done. You've never started. So if you're not doing something, you will never hear those words, because those words are reserved to people that are serving. Now, let me say something else. There are two modifiers to that, good and faithful. If you've served before in this church, God bless you. If you've served before in this church and you're not serving now, and you could serve, then you're not faithful. You will not hear those words. Folks, you and I don't get a pass from service simply because I served in the past. Every one of us has got to do all we can do as long as we can do it until we can't do it anymore. Well, don't you love that kind of exegesis? Yeah, that's deep, isn't it? You've got to keep serving as long as you can, or you're not faithful, and you will not hear those words. Thank you for your service, but you've quit, and that's not faithful. I know people in this church that hurt. They are in pain. I was in their house just recently, and they are in constant pain, and they still are serving God. There are people with cancer in here that are serving, and you're not? Folks, I call that faithful. And I am positive that God's going to tell them, you know, well done, well done, well done. But also, your service has got to be good. Oops, don't you cut me off. It has not been 30 minutes yet. They'll do that on Sunday morning because I got to get out of here. If I go too long, boom, it's all of a sudden done. Look with me in Acts 16 and we're done. We're talking about good now, so we got to do something, and we got to do it faithfully, and we have to do it well. Because we want to hear the joyful sound, amen? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done. Acts 16 and verse 10. And it's talking about Paul. Everybody's familiar with this passage of Scripture. This is the Macedonian call. This is that person that says, come over into Macedonia and help us. You're familiar with it, right? We'll pick it up in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, Paul, after he had seen the vision, note, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, these are just helpers now. They did not get the vision, correct? Paul got it in his prayer closet. He's the one that saw the Macedonian saying, come over and help us. He comes out of his prayer closet, goes to them, tells them what he had just heard, and they said this. This is the testimony of those people, his helpers. Immediately. Don't you love that spirit? Well, that speaks of zeal. That speaks of eagerness. Let's get going. Immediately, we endeavored. I don't know, that sounds like good service to me. That kind of spirit will thrill your pastor, by the way. I've heard him stand up here many a time and say, we need helpers, we need helpers, we need helpers. I guarantee you, if he said that and you ran down and said, I want to get started right now. Just point me in the right direction. Go see Kyle. You won't have to do it. You just help. Let's just help. Immediately, we endeavored. Now, notice that also, we. Folks, the work of God is always a joint effort. I have heard Brother Graham, I hate names, Brother Graham talk about the wonderful works he did in Brazil. He did not have to tell me that he did not do it alone. I guarantee you, other people came and helped him in that work. And if nobody else did, that woman sitting beside him did. And he couldn't have done it otherwise. Amen. It's always a we. It's us joining with other people to get the work done. Immediately. Let me find somebody I can help. Immediately. We. And don't you love this word? Endeavored. They started working. One guy said, you know, we're going to need passage on that boat. I'll take care of that. I'll go get the tickets. Another one said, we're going to need tracks. I know a printer. I'll go get the tracks. We're going to need tracks if we're going to go over to Macedonia. Another one said, you know what? We're going to need some support. I know some folks over in Philippi. They gave once. Maybe they'll give again, and we can get the money that we need to go. They all started doing exactly what they could do to get this mission going. Now, I don't know about you. That sounds like good service to me. Do you want to be a good servant? Have that spirit. Now, that's not the end of it. Notice what else that says of them. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that God, the Lord, had called us. There are a people in here that their attitude is this is their work. Not the preachers. They assuredly gather that this is their ministry too. Right? What an attitude. Now, I'm just here to tell you, I like people like that, and I am absolutely certain that my Savior does too. If you've got a spirit like that, I feel certain that one day he'll say to you, you know, you've been so good. You've been so good. You were so eager to serve me, and you joined with other people, and I really like that about you, right? And you just kept endeavoring. Whatever you could do, you just kept doing it. You were such a good servant. Here, enter into the joy of thy Lord. I've got some other things to say to these lazy, wicked people, but not to you. You have done well while you were here. Now, folks, let me tell you something. In John 9 and verse 4, it says this. Jesus said, I must work. The works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, he put himself in the exact same situation as you and me. We only have this life to do whatever we're going to do for God. And one day, this life is done. And nobody can work after that. If you're going to do anything, you better do it now, because this is the only opportunity you have. And that's the only opportunity he had, correct? The only opportunity he had was the same opportunity that you have, this one life. I must work. Now let me give you another verse and I'm done, and I've gone too far. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Have you heard his voice? He says, I must work. That's his voice. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Have you heard his voice? If you're his sheep, you want to follow. If you have heard that voice now for years and you have never yielded yourself to servant, can you really be confident that you are his sheep? I hate to put it like that, but folks, I heard his voice long time ago. I heard it. It says, I must work. And guess what? It resonated in me. That voice made my heart to tremble. And guess what I said? I must work. I must follow my shepherd. God bless you. I've just tried to encourage you a little bit tonight. I've tried to warn some of you. If you're not busy, oh, it's going to be terrifying for you. To others, be faithful. Just as long as you can, amen? Just as long as you can. There is coming a day where you won't be able to. It's coming for me too. Little by little, I'm descending into less and less energy and ability. God understands that. But until then, you say, Phil, okay, and I'm done. Do you think that you will hear those words? Well done. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know, but I do know this. I want to, and I'm going to keep trying. I'm just going to try and be faithful until I don't have the ability anymore, and you guys are visiting this shut-in. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Brother Nathan, if you'll come. Father, thank you for these wonderful people. These are my people. These are most assuredly my crowd. I am so honored to minister to them tonight and to warn, to encourage, to give hope, just a little bit of exhortation to keep on keeping on. There is a day of reckoning coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano is going to play, but I believe that God's spoken to all of our hearts tonight. I just ask you to obey the Lord. Right there where you're standing, God's speaking to your heart. Just say yes. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Lord, encourage. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the rebuke. Thank you for the direction. That's what I'm saying right now to the Lord myself. Maybe there's something specific on your heart that you know the Lord's been prompting you to do. There's a need in the church that you've seen, and you keep thinking, well, somebody ought to do something about that. And that person's you. Whatever it is that God's speaking to your heart about, you just do business with Him right now. If you need to come, the altar's open. Or right where you are, make an altar before the Lord. Just be obedient. And Pastor always says this, and I'm going to say it as well and mean it. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not sure you're going to go to heaven. You've gone through the motions, but there's never been that real connection with the shepherd. We're here to help you. We would love to introduce you to the Lord, help you find that connection, help you find that way. Come speak with us after the service or come now. The Lord has been good to us. He's blessed us tonight. We praise His name. Give us just a few more moments and then we'll pray and be dismissed. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us tonight to come and hear this word of exhortation. Lord, may none of us be satisfied with where we are. May we all press toward the mark, toward the calling that you've given us, that calling in Christ Jesus to press toward that finish line. Help us to do it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And Lord, may you be honored as we lay our crowns at your feet one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you for your good attention tonight. Let's have a going home song. Just sing the verse of that. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sing it with me.
There is.
Thank you for being here tonight. Encourage one another, and you're dismissed.